Up another one. It is underway, and we welcome in Coach Paul Wiggins. This is one of the few times that I get to talk to you with 16 minutes on the clock. We're not standing in the middle of the field dodging footballs and trying to overtalk the PA in a pregame talk, but our first opportunity since completing a 12-1 season. Just one of those things I always say, unexpected victory is sometimes the sweetest. And, you know, for us to be realistic, the fact that this past ball club would have accomplished what they accomplished was rather amazing. Before talking about them, let's go back and talk about 2014. You relayed an interesting story at awards night and talked about the football program being in trouble. Adam Franzen was a new AD. We had 8 kids in the weight room. Morale was at an all-time low. We were in heading for year 4 of a 2A run. The head coach had resigned, and you know, Adam and coach and Dan Ritter, who was going to become the principal, decided to call on Paul Wiggins to see if he would take that job.
Yeah, that was. And again, when I mentioned that, not a lot of people knew about. I was at, and Adam, I never told Adam. I was literally, when he called me, I was laying in a bed with an IV, being treated for meningitis. That hope, and I would just, and I'm not, when I said hope, I felt like I was going to die a couple times. Literally, it was just that draining. So, yeah, I never knew, I never told Adam that I was actually in a hospital bed being treated for meningitis at the time when we had that conversation.
Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways as you worked your way through meningitis, accepted the challenge of coaching the 2014 Mustangs. You had been the Colts coach previously, called in a few favors, made it through that season, and then we were realigned back to Class 1A the following year. You win the first 7 in a row. You go on to a 9-2 season. We have 32 kids on the roster, and Prosser football has grown and developed and seen a new complex grow up around us and as well in the Paul Wiggins regime.
Well, it's on the backs of players who lost 60-0 the teams and coaches who had to endure the growth, the early growth of a program. And so, yes, we've had some success since 2014, and 2014, in my opinion, was a success at 1-8. Really, when you look back at what we were dealing with, it's been a journey. At times, it's been draining, and but to have this kind of this past season occur is just more of a credit to those guys who endured the tougher times, like Joey Martin as a player and a coach who, you know, at when we won the district, he was sitting there crying after the game. And so, I mean, again, I've gotten a couple coaches awards in my tenure as varsity coach here, but it's actually a credit to the coaches and the players around me.
Absolutely. All right, moving forward, the 2020 COVID season comes, an 8-game schedule. We lost at home to Newport. We were crushed in Ludlow on a miserable night at Ludlow. But we finish it out. We're on the improve. We're set to play Nicholas for a district championship. Unfortunately, COVID and precautions rear their ugly head. The carpet's pulled out from under us. The season ends, and 7 seniors see their careers end. That included some quality athletes such as Devin McCormick and Cody Orth and Trevor Shadler, Carson Shermer, corner who was just having the time of his life playing football, Eli Thompson, on and on and on. Jed Martin had 96 yards in 2000. Trevor Shadler had 852 yards in 8 games and probably would have become a 1,000-yard scorer had we been able to beat Nicholas County and finish out or had a legitimate season. Likewise, Jacob Light, but they didn't. So they walked down the aisle. The 2021 season approaches. Trevor is gone. Jed Martin, who had 96 rushing yards the year before, is now the running back. Our schedule consists of 3 2A and 1 3A school. What were your thoughts as we approached this season? You and I have talked about it at times, but just to talk to the public, you know, what were your thoughts as you approached that season? Certainly we had to take a step back from 2020.
Well, yeah, I mean, the big question, and I don't mind saying it, and Dennis and I just talked about this at school today, was Jed was the big question. We had some guys who, as far as linemen, who had logged some serious minutes but weren't starters. And the fact that you lose a running back like Trevor Shadler and kind of put it in the hands of Jed Martin, who's kind of, again, I know he hates me saying this, but he's an undersized, typically an undersized running back. But what he does is no one ever gets a clean hit on him because he's shifty and he's small and he's fast and he has an attitude when he plays. So the one of the most rewarding things was the fact that Jed took that role and ran with it. And Jacob Light's Jacob Light. Jacob Light is a kind of kid that you want on any team because he has a confidence about him that it's so far beyond his years at times with the way he carries himself on the field. I mean, he's in my head as much as I'm in his during a game, and so along with the, I mean, again, the line was the key. The fact that we, on both sides of the ball, really, offense and defense, there was just clear dominance at times. And, again, I don't know, maybe it's for these outgoing seniors to answer, but I don't know if they channeled that 2020 team that didn't get the finish or what. But they played at times like crazy football player. I mean, it was our district championship was crazy. I've never been part of that.
Right.
I told him that right before we went in at halftime. I'm like, as a coach and a player, I've never been part of a more dominating performance than what you guys just displayed here. I think it's a credit to those seniors who Jacob, going back to Jacob Light, embraced the freshmen and just valued them so much that you could see it. Everyone loved our seniors because our seniors weren't your stereotypical seniors that make sure the freshmen are put in their place. No, they were part of a team, and they made them feel they built their self-worth up by just giving them confidence all the time.
Very good. All right, the season approaches. We open with Dayton. Jamie Herps down there does a good job. They're getting a lot of ink. He's got all these kids coming out for football, and I'm just hoping we beat Dayton. Well, we not only beat Dayton, we handled them 28-0. We move on to Newport, pouring down rain, miserable night. Bad goes to worse. We trail early in that ball game, yet still found a way to win 21-7. In our defense in two ball games have now allowed 3 points, or whatever it was, because they really weren't responsible for the turnover, the score that Newport had scored. We go to Bellevue without Jacob Light. Jacob was on the shelf for some particular reason, and Bellevue played as tough. It was like nothing coming out of the first quarter. We loosened up on him. Jed Martin ran 80-some yards for a touchdown. We go on to win 42-0. We come home to Holy Cross, who had handed us a loss the opening night that we had opened the MAC, and we deal with them 21-0. What were your thoughts at that particular point of the season with Lloyd coming up, or when did it first cross your mind that these guys might be special enough that we can win them all?
Well, I don't know about winning them all. I know that when we beat Lloyd, and Kyle Niederman and I are really good friends, and I told him after that game that to us, this was a big-time win because we were 0-for against them as district foes. And we played them well and during the district play, too. I was at all those games. But it was after we beat Lloyd and we were 5-0 and we were looking at what's ahead of us and thinking, okay, I think we're in, it's aligned for us to possibly do this, but we've got to stay healthy. And to Rob Hopkins' credit, he'd even said that to us after we played him. He goes, you guys are going to run the table if you guys stay healthy.
Staying healthy.
Yes, yeah, staying healthy. And we barely stayed healthy. And I'm not even sure we can call it stayed healthy. We were very beat up the last few weeks of the season.
Very much. You know, Lloyd means a lot to you. I go back to the old days. Was Rudy Tassini the head coach there at one time or not?
Yeah.
I just saw his name pop up because I think he is, in a medical crisis at this point. But they were something that was special. Lloyd was always, blue collar, big, tough. And even to this day, they don't lose to 1A schools. They do not lose to 1A schools. Now, I know maybe our kids weren't as familiar with them as I was and you were, but when we beat Lloyd that night, I thought we jumped a major step on, in our road to success and in our program's advancement. And that 13-8 win, I guess I, like everybody else, got on the bandwagon and say, why not? Ludlow, who I still had memories of the crushing we had taken and the money we had cost the Ron Jones funeral home the year before, was fresh in my mind. But Ludlow comes out and we beat him 41-7. Now Nicholas County, 14-0, dogfight, ground game. But we win by 2 touchdowns. Bracken at Bracken, another miserable weather night. We win that one, and then we go to Paris and play Paris in a quagmire. It had rained all day. We win 15-6, and we kind of wrote it off as an aberration that the field condition played as much a part in the closeness of the score as did, the Paris Greyhounds. Pendleton County gave us a great ball game. The score doesn't indicate what a great ball game that was. But, that concluded our 10-0 run in the regular season. And it would have been easy for our guys to sit back, take a deep breath, say, wow, we got here. But then we had earned ourselves 2 district home games. Now, Paris and Nicholas County. When I drove into the MAC on the night of the Paris game, I thought, this is going to be a track meet. We're going to run up and down the floor. We're going to break plays. This is going to be a high-scoring game. And God love Andrew Dewey Schwartz. 2 extra points separated us from the Greyhounds that night is when we did think we had the game won. Tate Ledger runs back a squib kick for a touchdown.
That was Puckett, by the way.
Puckett, I'm sorry.
Ledger plays. Yeah, Ledger plays.
Nicholas County.
Yeah,
you're right, Puckett.
Yeah.
It runs it back for a touchdown, and our live passed in front of us. And that extra point, 2-point stop by Evan North and Jed Martin are indelibly ingrained in my memory the rest of my life.
No doubt.
But we thought that one would be a track meet, and then the Nicholas County game we thought would be a dogfight. And as you had previously referred to it, That was the track meet, and it was all ours. Drives, 67, 81, 64. Just every time we hit the ball, we drove it for a touchdown, and that game was over at halftime.
It was. And again, what I said to them, it wasn't any Vince Lombardi-type speech before the game. All I simply said to them is, we've talked about targets being on our chest or on our back all year long, and that's a figurative thing. It's not realistic. It's an imaginary thing, a target. What is reality is that 13 weeks ago we talked about winning a district championship, and now it's just 48 minutes away, and it's right out that door. And so that's all I really said to him, and I said, go get it, it's yours. And just when we, those first couple drives, I even looked at Mark Moore at one point, midway second quarter, and I said, hey, are we going to get a counterpunch from them? And he goes, I don't know. I don't think so. And so it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
All right. We lose 10 seniors. We lose Martin. We use Light, our 2,000-yard gainers, with just a minute 15 to go here. As you look forward to the coming year, certainly we have to take a step back, and we can't expect continued improvement from the 2022 Mustangs. Or can we?
Well, I don't know, because I just left Waits to come up here, and we had 22 guys our first night at Waits, which is, I think, a record number, and 9 of them were incoming freshmen. So, again, you know what? If guys are going to put in the work, we're always going to have a chance.
All right. Joey Martin, we lose Joey as a coach, and I know that's a blow to us, the staff. You know, Joey's just a great guy, but I don't think that he's going to go away. One thing I want to ask you is, you watched the UC Alabama game. Any comparisons there, perhaps, to our game with the Raceland Rams?
I don't know. I mean, it's high school and college, and the difference is that, and I'm not going to get into it because someone across the state's going to ding me. But it's the reclass thing. I mentioned the politicians at our banquet. When politicians play a role in high school sports, it's tainted, and our sport is tainted now because we allowed for some reclassification. I'm going
to
end it there because it's close to home. And I want to mention real quick, Thomas Sayers, I found out 2 hours ago, is a finalist in the That's My Boy Award for the National Scholar Football Award. So on February 24th at the Old Montgomery Inn, he, I, and the parents are going up there to potentially get the That's My Boy Award.
So, excellent.
Thanks, Job, for everything you do.
Paul, thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'm going to get Jacob Light on here and talk to him from his perspective of things a little bit further on down the road. And we'll now pause for the playing of our national anthem.